President Bush, for the second day in a row, meets today with the leader of a European country to discuss Iraqi war plans. Yesterday it was Italy's Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Today it's Britain's Tony Blair, who is the administration's staunchest ally on the issue of Iraq. But in Britain, that support is extremely unpopular. NPR's Guy Raz reports from London.
It's not always easy to hear Tony Blair explain his Iraq position on the floor of the House of Commons. The jeers from backbenchers grow louder every day.
We have a situation now where we are trying to put the maximum pressure on Saddam to comply with the UN mandate. We had a report on Monday. Well, some honourable members will just allow me. We had a report on Monday.
Week in, week out, the Prime Minister stands in the Commons or in some European capital and delivers a passionate oratory in defense of America.
The basic values of America are our values too, British and European, and they are good values. Democracy, freedom, tolerance, justice. It is easy to be anti-American, but remember when and where this alliance was forged. Here, in Europe, in World War II, when Britain and America and every decent citizen in Europe joined forces to liberate Europe from the Nazi evil.
Despite the applause, more than 120 of Blair's own party colleagues in the Commons oppose any military action in Iraq. 80% of the public here does too, and so a man often regarded as a poll-obsessed politician is now swimming against the tide, and it's forced political pundits to reassess their view of Blair. Timothy Garden is one of them. He's the former assistant chief of the British Defense Staff.
He's doing it, I think, on an individual belief basis. I think he also has a passion. I mean, it really is a sort of visceral passion in believing that right should triumph, that good should defeat evil. I mean, it's almost in those sorts of terms. And probably this is why he gets on with President Bush so well.
Indeed, while other leaders in Europe quietly mock the president as a man lacking in sophistication, Blair doesn't.
It's a pity that there's such a parody of him in parts of the media here, because I find him very, very easy to deal with, very open, very transparent.
While some in Europe may disparage Bush's straightforward style, Blair prefers it, according to Matthew Simmons, political editor of The Economist and a friend of Blair since college.
He has found Bush very easy and straightforward to deal with. When they have talked about issues, he has always felt that, you know, Bush has been very frank with him, has told him the truth.
But there's another dynamic at work.
To explain or understand the relationship which Blair has with Bush, you need, in my view, to go back to this belief in religion.
John Kent, a professor of international relations at the London School of Economics, says the fact that both men are religious helps explain why they interact so well.
Because their common religion, their passionate beliefs in some of these simplistic ideas about good and bad may incline them to give more precedence and attach more importance to taking a common line towards Iraq.
Former British Defense Staff official Timothy Garden says Blair's worldview is very much shaped by that notion of right and wrong.
It is a belief that he is in a position to do good around the world, and he wants to use it as best he can. And from his point of view, this is only achievable in an alliance with the United States.
Our very strengths, our history, equip us to play a role as a unifier around a consensus, both for achieving our goals and those of the wider world.
Those who've watched Blair react to international crises in the past say his position on Iraq is consistent. He was the engine that drove NATO toward intervention in the Balkans, and it was Blair, not Bush, who first raised the issue of Iraq shortly after September 11th. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.